Afternoon. Nice to see everyone today. Nice to see everyone survived and made it through this past week of frigid, freezing, Arctic-like weather. Although come this July and August, we'll probably be looking back on this week and weeks like this with fondness. So I was talking to one of the members in St. Petersburg, and he said he didn't mind. Okay. He didn't mind how freezing cold it got as long as it didn't get below 70. So the thoughts for this sermon started back at the feast this year, as I had gone and come in contact with and was reminiscing with a fellow that I had known for years and years. And we were catching up and talking about different members that we had known over the years, what they were doing and where they were. He mentioned one individual and asked if I remembered him, and certainly I did. I had known him for years, and he had said he had passed away a couple of weeks before. And he said he had made a few comments about the individual. This was an individual who was an elder in the church, who was very much a pillar in his congregation. When there was something going on, he was right there in the middle of it, probably planning it, involved, helping out. And he just, my friend, in talking to him, said, well, he just kind of started not coming, and he slowly faded away and quit coming to church a few years ago. And by contrast, when I was traveling recently, I went and attended a church area in my travels, and here was another fellow that I became very fond of and had known over the years. And by now, he was in his 90s, but he was still a very vibrant part of the congregation, helping out, still a pillar. He was still there serving, even frail and into his 90s. Now, I'm not judging or making any judgments on either one of those situations, but it brought some thoughts to my mind. Do we ever wear out? Do we ever feel like we are worn out? Do we ever get burned out? Maybe you've been coming to church for 10 years and hearing some of the same verses, some of the same sermons. I did a little bit of calculation, and if you've been coming for 10 years, you've heard on average probably about 650 sermons. And some of you here have been coming for 40 years, and if that's the case, you've heard on average about 2,600 sermons, or maybe even 50 years as some of you here, or maybe even longer. But if you've been coming for 50, you've heard of an average of probably about 3,250 sermons. Sometimes the same sermons, sometimes the same verses. Do we ever get tired? Maybe you've been attending 40 or 50 Feast of Tabernacles or 40 or 50 Passovers and washed feet for 40 or 50 years. Maybe you've seen friends healed. Maybe you've watched as friends died and are still awaiting their healing. Maybe you've seen the church split, and maybe even more than once. Maybe you've endured the humanity of other people. Maybe you've seen the humanity of our ministers. You've held fast even at the falling away of many of your friends, maybe even family members, maybe even leaders of the church. Maybe you've been handing out songbooks week after week. Maybe you've been setting up chairs. Maybe you've been doing different jobs, running the sound, cleaning the hall, taking care of someone in need, maybe giving rides to someone year after year. Do we ever feel like we're in some kind of a rut, or do we ever feel like we've gotten burned out? The meaning of burned out, I looked it up in Merriam-Webster's dictionary, and it states simply exhaustion of physical or emotional strength, or motivation, usually as the result of prolonged stress or frustration. On the internet, the free dictionary stated it means fatigue, frustration, or apathy resulting from prolonged stress, overwork, or intense activity. Have you ever felt burned out? Does day-to-day stress distract us? And certainly if we admit to it, day-to-day stress, and it can even be small things, can be very distracting, from just the frustrations of going to the grocery store or even driving in the traffic. Have we been doing years and years of well-doing? Do we make the coffee, clean the chairs, clean the bathrooms at the hall? Do we do things that no one else even sees or even knows about? Do we ever get to the point where we just don't care anymore? Do we start missing church services and activities? Christians can get tired of doing good. And we see that first excitement of when we get involved in Spokesman's Club or doing the cards or serving potlucks. And now maybe we've grown weary in well-doing because so many times after doing it year after year, the thrill was just gone. And that unhappiness, that detachment, that burnout causes and can threaten our relationships, our health, and even our salvation. Recognizing the warning signs of this, we can take steps to prevent it. We can take steps to prevent burnout. Does the Bible say anything about burnout? Well, today we're going to look at what causes burnout and what we can do to combat growing weary. And if you want a title for today's sermon, it's simply Growing Weary in Well-Doing. Are you burned out? If we're truthful, we can all feel tired and worn out while doing good. Parents of all ages can become weary. Dealing with small children, grandchildren, your own children can wear you out. Children dealing with parents can wear them out. Employees can become worn out, and church members can become worn out. We can all be worn out or burned out if we're not careful. I was driving down the road and I heard this little thing on the radio, and so I thought I would jot it down. Maybe you've already heard it, but I thought it was fitting. It goes on to state, I read about a woman who telephoned her friend and asked how she was feeling that day. Terrible, she said, came the reply. My head's splitting, my back hurts, my legs are killing me, the kids have torn the house up, the house is a mess, the kids are just driving me crazy. And very sympathetically, the caller said, well, listen, go lie down. I'll come over right away and I'll cook lunch for you. I'll clean up your house for you. I'll take care of the kids. You get some rest. And by the way, how's your husband Sam doing? Sam, the complaining person said. Who's Sam? That's not my husband. And the first woman said, oh, I must have dialed the wrong number. After a long pause, she said, but are you still coming over? The Bible gives us a warning about this. Turn with me over to Galatians. Galatians chapter 6. We can all feel worn out. Galatians chapter 6, we're going to read in verse 9, and we're going to work our way around this verse today. We'll be coming back to it. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. Let us not grow weary while doing good, a warning for us from Paul. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. A very important verse. There's a companion verse in 2 Thessalonians 3:13. It says basically the same thing, and we'll not turn there. What I would like to do is go over a few translations of this same verse that gives us a little better idea of what it means. The New International Version states, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. The New Living Translation states, let us not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. The English Standard Version states, let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. And that's a common thing that I found, if we do not give up. So a very common and a good point. New American Standard Bible states, let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. God's Word translation states we cannot allow ourselves to get tired of living the right way. Certainly each of us will receive everlasting life at the proper time if we don't give up. And just one more, the English Revised Version states, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. The meaning, the Greek word for weary means utterly spiritless, exhausted, or burned out. And the meaning of well-doing is to live virtuously, fair, honest, worthy, and good. Let's take a moment to look at a couple of biblical examples of people that have gotten weary. There's many of them, but let's just take a look at a couple. Back in the book of Exodus, we'll see the example of Moses. Exodus chapter 18. Let's start reading in verse 13. Now, you could put yourself here in this place and start to picture the picture here. Here's Moses leading the children of Israel, and they had all of their problems, all of their difficulties, and Moses was dealing with them. Here his father-in-law's giving him a warning. You can imagine Moses sitting there and all of these people coming to him with all of their problems, thousands and thousands of them. Verse 13 of chapter 18. And so it was on the next day that Moses sat to judge the people. And the people stood before Moses from morning until evening. And you can imagine a huge line of people there from all day long, every day, day after day. That's what Moses was doing. Verse 14. So when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did for the people, he said, "What is this thing that you're doing for the people? Why do you sit or alone sit all the people? Why do you alone sit and all the people stand before you morning until evening?" And Moses said to his father-in-law, "Because the people come to me to inquire of God. And when they have a difficulty, they come to me and I judge between one another and I make known the statutes of God and his law." So Moses was teaching them, judging them when they came to him with all these difficulties. Verse 17. So Moses' father-in-law said to him, "The thing that you do is not good. Both you and these people who are with you will surely wear yourselves out. For this thing is too much for you. You're not able to perform it by yourself. Listen now to my voice. I will give you counsel, and God will be with you. Stand before God for the people, so that you may bring the difficulties to God." Verse 20. And you shall teach them the statutes and the laws. And if we drop down to verse 21, "Moreover, you shall select from all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness." And drop down verse 22, "And let them judge the people at all times. Then it will be that every great matter they shall bring to you, but every small matter they themselves shall judge. So it will be easier for you when they will bear the burden with you." So we could see even Moses can get worn out. Over in 1 Kings chapter 19, we see the example of Elijah. 1 Kings chapter 19. We'll start reading in verse 1. And we can just picture and imagine everything that Elijah had done, all the miracles that he was involved in, even all the prophets of the Baal, and how he had them killed, and he showed them up with the sacrifice when he prayed to God. All of these things and all the faith that he had. And what happened in verse 1 of chapter 19, even after all of this? And Ahab told Jezebel that all that Elijah had done, also how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So let the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." After all of this, after all the faith that he had, now he was fearful and worn out. Verse 3, "And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree and prayed that he might die and said, 'It is enough. It's enough. Lord, take my life. I'm no better than others.'" He was worn out. We see the example of Isaiah. And after everything that Isaiah had done, and I quote, we don't need to turn there, but Isaiah 6:5, "Woe is me, for I am undone," Isaiah said. He was worn out. Some of the ways that we can grow weary, or some of the causes that we can grow weary when we think about it, One of the enemies of enthusiasm is change or time. Human beings have a remarkable capacity for getting tired of wonderful things. Even things that we enjoy, we can get tired of. If you think of something that you've enjoyed and were enthusiastic about, probably if you did it enough, you could even become tired of it, worn out. The joy is faded. Maybe when you go on vacation, that first day of vacation, how great it was. Maybe you sat on the beach and watched that sunset. And when you watch that sunset, if you watched it every day, or even lived there so that you looked out and saw that sunset, it would become old after a while. Even millionaires get tired of money. Kids get tired of toys. You can buy them new toys and it's no time, and they're tired of toys. Some people have talked about having a toy exchange. Everyone just changes toys about once a month and then they're new again. Even things like eating dessert, if that's all you ever did, you can become tired of it. Things like fishing or whatever it is you might enjoy. Well, why do we grow weary? Let's go over some reasons why we do. One would be that we don't see results. We as humans, we need results. We live in a very results-oriented culture. Everything that we do requires results. We see teachers teaching and testing their students for results. We see employers, employees, trying to measure up to certain results. I was talking to my cousin who had a job working for a huge shipping company and distribution company, and he said he was flat worn out. He said he estimated that he probably walked over 20 miles a day, moving boxes and doing whatever it was that he did. And everything that he did was measured, as was all of the other employees. Everything that we do, it seems, is always measured. We measure ourselves. We need those results. Sometimes we can't see the results of our actions, and sometimes it's long term. Sometimes we don't see the results even though that they're there. And many times we grade ourselves by comparing ourselves to others. And certainly we know that that's not wise. We need to know and remember that the true result is that God is in the process of establishing his kingdom. In his kingdom, that is the results that we should be concerned about. God's word gives us the results to look forward to. Nothing wrong with being results oriented. We need to make sure that we have the correct results that we're working towards. Another way that we can grow weary is because there's a lack of appreciation. Do we ever do things and get tired because no one ever appreciates what we do? They take for granted what we do. People are naturally unthankful. And in our society today, people are more and more unthankful and more thinking of themselves. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. The Bible talks about this in 2 Timothy. And it's a warning for us today. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful. We live in an unthankful society, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. Here we see unthankful right in amongst the rest of these evil things that we are to avoid. Do we make sure and make it a point to show appreciation to others? Do we go out of our way to tell someone thank you for a great job that they did? So many times we take it for granted ourselves. Let's turn over to Luke chapter 17. And we'll see some instruction that Christ gave us. Luke chapter 17, a very familiar passage. that we can remind ourselves to always be thankful and the importance of that. Thankful for everyone. Luke chapter 17 and verse 11. In the wrong book. I'll catch up to you here. Luke chapter 17. Verse 11. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there he met 10 men who were lepers and stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And leprosy was this horrible, horrible disease. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. And so it was as they went, they were cleansed. And now one of them, verse 15, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not 10 cleansed? Why aren't they thankful also? Verse 18, were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. So many times we can become weary because we live in a society that's ungrateful. So another reason we can become weary is because we see a lack of doing in others, which can cause us to grow weary. And we've all heard that it seems as though that 90% of the work gets done by 10% of the people. And by doing that, when we're of that 10% or involved in that work, sometimes it can get discouraging. Also, we have Satan's influence around us. Satan's influence can cause us to become weary. We have the worldly pressures, the pressures of earning a living, the pressures of just living in society. The pressures that the world's screaming out at us every day that there is no God. And that's Satan telling us a lie. We see that more and more. And if a lie is told, it seems, loud enough, or in an angry way, or spoken quickly enough, or repeated enough, people will believe it. And we see this in many different ways. We see it on Facebook with all of these messages. I just noticed and jotted down this week on my, not a real big Facebook person, but on my Facebook account, here was these Facebook messages popping up one after another. One was evil verses from the Bible. Another was nonsense from the Bible. Another was fantasies from the Bible. And maybe some of you have seen this. And day after day, when you see that in all of its different forms with Satan broadcasting his messages, that can cause us to become weary. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 13. When we think of the cares of the world, another familiar parable, Matthew chapter 13. We'll start in verse 3. We have to live in the world. We have to put up with the world, but sometimes it can be very much causing us to become weary. Verse 3 of Matthew 13. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun rose up, they were scorched and because they had no root, they withered away. And we've often seen members who have come, and they've had a lot of enthusiasm, but it wasn't long until they withered away. Verse 7, some fell among thorns. The thorns sprang up and choked them. Others fell on good ground, yielded a crop. Some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. But he who has an ear to hear, let him hear. Now let's drop down to verse 18. As the parable was explained. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower, verse 19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the one who received seed by the wayside. And here we see Satan every day trying to snatch us away. Verse 20, but he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. Then when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Verse 22, now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word, understands it, and he who indeed bears fruit and produces some hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. So many times when we lose focus, we can lose focus of the plan of salvation, the plan that God has for us. The plan, we could lose focus of the positive, godly way of life. How when we want to be truly happy, we know how to live, following a godly way of life. Another thing that can cause us to be weary is going through difficult trials. Sometimes experiencing poor health, sometimes personal conflicts, sometimes family conflicts, sometimes conflicts at work with employees or supervisors or our bosses. All of these things can cause us even to be spiritually worn down. So let's take a moment and look at some strategies that can help us combat this weariness and bring back that joy of doing good. What can we do about it? First off, we can make a change. If we find ourselves in a rut, we should be trying to do something different. If we've been doing something the same way every time, do something different. Serve in a different way. Do a different job. Help someone else out different. Another thing we can do is have perseverance. Perseverance is certainly a biblical concept. Have that diligence, that endurance. And we are encouraged throughout the writings of the Bible to have that endurance, that determination. Webster defines determination as, and I quote, the act of deciding definitely and firmly, firm or fixed intention to achieve a desired end. Determination is an important characteristic in life. It's what keeps us going when we'd rather give up. Determination helps us quitting a demanding job that we really do need, or giving up on a fragile relationship with someone. Determination helps us to endure life storms, to battle enticing temptations that we all come across. Determination helps us to persevere through terrible trials. None of us can get through life without having determination and endurance. And living our life properly and happily requires determination. I'm reminded as I prepared for this, thinking back on a boxing match that happened several years ago. I went back and researched this, and I remember this boxing match. Probably many of you do. It happened on November 25th, 1980. It was between Sugar Ray Leonard and Roberto Duran. And if you remember this, it took place in the Louisiana Superdome, holding nearly 100,000 people inside the building. This was their second match that they had together. The first match was earlier in Montreal, and Roberto Duran won in a unanimous decision. So this was a rematch, and it was very much hyped up, and many people were involved. It was the talk of at work. Everyone were taking sides. Who's going to win? It seemed endless talk ahead of the match. Then when the match came, it started out fairly well. Both fighters were fighting and fairly well evenly matched. When it came to the eighth round, Roberto Duran turned his back to the referee and put up his glove and said, "No mas, no mas, no mas," which means no more, no more. He just simply decided to quit in the middle of the eighth round and give up. The boxing match, the world was absolutely amazed. He just gave up in the eighth round. And what's amazing is many people have quit and just gave up serving God. They've thrown in the towel. They're no longer in the race. They've turned their backs, put their hands up, and effectively said, no mas. The fight was remembered as the no mas fight. You can look that up on your computer. People, no matter how long they've been disciples, doesn't matter how long they've served God or what their background is, we can all, if we're not careful, become weary and burned out. I can remember a pillar in the church that attended was involved in everything, a good friend, and I can remember a sermonette that he gave talking about how God's way of life was such a true way of life to truly bring you happiness. But it wasn't but a short time after that he just kind of faded away. And a couple years later, I saw him and he didn't even remember or even know when the holy days were. He had forgotten and turned his back on God's way of life. We've all seen people that after years and years have said, no mas. Matthew 10 and verse 22, and I'll just quote, he who endures to the end will be saved. We must have that endurance. Luke 9 verse 62 states, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom. We see God's strength is available to us. How often do we get tired and weary? It seems as though we're in a rat race sometimes, and sometimes it seems like the rats are winning. I was talking to an electrician friend of mine some time ago, and he just threw up his hands and he said, I just let the rats win. I give up. Just let them win. But we live in a society that's moving in such a rapid pace that weariness is the rule. It's the rule in our lives, not the exception. And unfortunately, this applies also to our walk with God. Reading our Bibles, praying, giving our tithes, giving our offerings, being faithful. We grow weary, and so many have said no mas or no more. They haven't had that perseverance, that diligence, that determination. The Apostle Paul wrote, don't become weary, don't become discouraged, don't become despondent. And how can this be possible in a way that in the world that we live in now? Well, we can go to God and tap into his strength. Strength for every trial, strength for every day. And we need to determine to be obedient to God in all areas of our life, enduring, not giving up. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 when we think about enduring. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we'll start reading in verse 24. First Corinthians 9, verse 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown, looking forward to God's kingdom. Verse 26. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight like a boxer, not as one who beats the air, just standing there just punching the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified, failing to persevere, giving in to spiritual apathy. It takes determination to serve God and each other. Let's have that determination and not give up. Let's have that endurance. It's a long race that we have ahead of us. Some have quit the race. Have you ever seen a marathon? We see the runners, they take off. Some of the runners, they all get weary, but some of them, it seems like they're way out ahead. And sometimes those are the first ones to get weary. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12 when we think about running our race. Hebrews chapter 12. We'll start in verse 1, Hebrews chapter 12, talking about our race. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that's set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We have that race to run. We don't want to lose heart. 1 Peter 2:20 states, "For this you were called, because Christ also suffered, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps." We have our race to run, even with our difficulties and trials. Another thing we've briefly mentioned already to help us combat this weariness is to stay constantly focused on the future, not on the present, not on what we're going through, keeping that goal out in front of us, ahead of us. Philippians chapter 3. When we get weary, when we become tired, refocus on that goal. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12. "Not that I have already obtained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me." Verse 13, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead," constantly looking ahead at our goals. "I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we already have attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind." And it's interesting when you study this subject, how many times working and enduring and having that same mind of unity together. When we think about that, here we are from all different backgrounds. Here we are from all different societies, so to speak, but we're all brought together as one and unified in Christ. We need to focus together on God's plan. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. Focusing on the plan. Once again, Paul teaching us here. "For I consider," verse 18, "the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Focusing on the future plan. "For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. And not only they, but we also have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body," looking forward to God's plan and his salvation. When we become weary, let us also focus on the fundamentals. Go back to those basic fundamental doctrines. Relive them, restudy them, make them a part of our lives. When we become weary, we might ask ourselves, are we serving with the right motivation? If we're not serving, we might say, well, we're serving, but if we're not serving with the right motivation, we can ourselves become weary. Let's take a look at the example in Matthew chapter 23 of that. What is our motivation when we serve? We all serve, but are we serving for the right reasons? Let's look at the example of the Pharisees briefly. Matthew chapter 23, starting in verse 5. Why do we do what we do? Verse 5, "But all their works they do to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments." Let's drop down to verse 12. "And whoever exalts himself will be abased, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Verse 25, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, Hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, verse 27, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all cleanness. Why do we serve? What is the motivation? Only we can look in our heart. Luke chapter 18. The example of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Jesus gave us many lessons from the Pharisees and their attitudes. Luke chapter 18, starting in verse 9. Also he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. And he goes on to state all the things that he does. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Verse 14, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be abased, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. The world is always doing things with the wrong motivations. We should search our heart for the reasons why we serve. Is it for self-satisfaction? If so, we have our reward. That is the reward we get. Do we serve so that someone will be talking about us, praising us, to gain recognition or position? If we do, we can become weary in serving. Are we serving for the right reasons? Are we serving for selfish reasons, as the Pharisees were? We should serve for the right reasons. Another thing that we can do when we become weary is to ask God for strength. It is through God that we get our strength. He strengthens us when we are weary. As we get older, it seems that we rely more and more on God. Where do we get our true strength? Philippians chapter 4. When we are combating the world around us, where does our strength come from? Philippians chapter 4 and verse 10. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Now I speak in regard to need, for what I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. Paul was content no matter what state he found he was in. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And what was his attitude? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Where does our strength come from? Jesus strengthens all of us. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10 states, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Another thing that we can do is to take time to recharge our batteries. Take time out to refocus. And God helps us with that, with the Sabbath every week, with the holy days to stop and refocus our lives. If we didn't have that, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy, many of us would keep right on going. We would be working every day of the week. But to stop and refocus our lives, to worship God, we have those holy days to take time out. Let's look at an example. Even Jesus Christ himself took time out and got away from everyone. Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 13. Even Jesus took time out. When Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. He needed time to recharge himself and refocus himself. But the multitudes heard it. They followed him on foot from the cities. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them, and he healed their sick. When it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away that they may go into the villages and buy for themselves food." Let's drop down to verse 22. And immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. We can go out by ourselves and be rejuvenated through prayer. We see Christ's example of that. We turn to Galatians chapter 6. Let's turn back there. I'd like to cover one final point, and that is I want to like to go over the context of this verse that we earlier read. Galatians chapter 6. There are many ways that we can become weary in well-doing. Let's back up to verse 1. We read verse 9 earlier. Let's read a little bit of the context. "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." Verse 2, "Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Verse 3, "For if anyone thinks himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load." We see several different aspects of this context. Verse 6, "Let him who is taught by the word share in all good things with him who teaches." What is this talking about here? We see an attitude that we should be willing and giving for those who teach. That's what some of our tithes and offerings go to help with the ministers. "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh," this is an attitude of living our life, "will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." And then it goes into verse 9, "Let us not be grow weary while doing good." We read this before. "For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." So we can grow weary in many things. We can grow weary year after year in paying tithes and offerings, in giving our offerings. How generous are we? And this is part of the context that it's talking about here. Taking care of and providing for those who stand and teach. We see that God is not impressed with fine cars, nice homes, designer clothes. He's not impressed with our buildings or our budget. He's interested in what's in our heart. And that's what this context is talking about. What we sow, we will reap. Sharing our burdens, meeting the needs of God's servants. So are we tired? Don't quit. Are we feeling weary? Stay focused. And I'll just quote Psalm 126 in verse 5. It states that "they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goes forth and weeps, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." When we feel tired and weary, consider Jesus and his sacrifice and everything he's done for us. James 4:8 states, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." So we shouldn't grow weary of being patient and kind and faithful and gentle and self-controlled. Don't grow weary of manifesting our peace, manifesting our joy, and our acts of love to others, our neighbors, our associates, and our family. We shouldn't lose heart in serving through love, because if we do, then the works of the flesh will take over. Why? Why do we not want to grow weary in well-doing? It's for our benefit. we can focus on the true way of life and the true way of happiness. So just to review, what can we do to combat growing weary? Try something different. Develop godly endurance and determination. Focus on God's plan. Review the fundamentals. Serve with the proper motivation. And seek God for that strength. And when we think about that, this truly is a positive message for all of us. And so we'll just finish up back where we started. And I'll just quote Galatians 6 and verse 9. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not.